Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The simple translation for wasawis is stray thoughts. So how do you deal with stray thoughts? That's the whole discussion. Number two is, stray thoughts, are they something significant or they're insignificant? So there are two types of situations. One, you have a command over it. And one, you have no control, no command. Things that you don't have command and you don't have a control of, then don't pay too much of attention to it. So that's the, it's the best cure and solution. There's different examples that are quoted just to illustrate these thoughts. One is of a live wire and one is of a dog, right? If you are at a farm side, then you will see there are dogs on the side barking, and on the other end there are donkeys that are braying. Can you stop their barking and can you stop their braying? They're going to bray or they're going to bark. And you can't control that. So that's the example of this stray thoughts injected by shaitan. So when you can't control that, then don't pay attention. What's the need? Why must you pay attention to it? It's not within your control. But this is a great solution. Sometimes it is a financial loss, right? You did everything right. Did your homework, the feasibility study, and you made all the mashwara that was required, and then also that whole business just failed, collapsed. Similar is the case in the expectations that you have. See, you have an expectation of a business, or you have an expectation of your child's marriage, right? And it seemed to be a very beautiful suitor and it didn't work out. Right? You expected the child to pull through, and the first child, after a lot of waiting and trial, you got a child, and the child couldn't make it, went away. So there are different examples, but all these are things that are not in your command, not in your control. So what's the simple solution for things that are not in your control? Right? Some things are in your control, and there you mustn't be negligent. You are driving a car, and you can see you are dozing off, right? Now you caused an accident, and you tell the police, not my control, I was dozing off, you see. Not within myself. So, will that excuse be acceptable? The police will tell you, I could see you were dozing off. Then the right thing was just to park on the side and sleep. And when you fresh and alert, then you should have driven. Now you can see it's happening. So, you don't self-inflict a problem. But now this is, that self-inflicted, this came onto you. Two words are used here. One is awrd and one is amad. So amad is, it came. Awrd means you brought it on yourself. So when it came of its own, then you're not answerable. You're not. So there are situations sometimes that is not within your control. And some things are within your control. Like for example, yesterday I was explaining to the boys that the ulama, they researched the hadith, and from the volumes of hadith, so from the volumes of hadith, they've extracted four hadith. They say these hadith will form the very structure of your deen. Right? So, this is a structure, you need to understand this is a structure, and take good care of the structure. Then everything else will sort itself. So the one is niyat. Innamal a'malu bin niyat. So you got that right, then you got the sincerity right. And because it revolves around four things, then as though if you got one of these four right, then you got caught off your deen right. So all your deeds are subject to the niyat. Niyat is right, you're getting the rewards. So you have to see now that your niyat is right from the very beginning. Don't have a corrupt niyat. Just digressing a little bit, right? Around 1930 somewhere, Al-Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi wrote a kitab on the different lineages, right? And different professions. Lineages and different professions. Because what had happened in India is people had adopted some lineage. I am an Ansari, and the next person said, I am an Abbasi. Someone says, I'm a Quraysh. So they just took on lineages. Whereas they went Quraysh or they went Ansaris. Like, for example, the cotton weaver in India, he's looked down upon. He's looked down with contempt, right? So they said, we are Ansaris. Then in the old days, then they didn't have any water system. So you had a sukha, and he used to pass the water to the different homes. So they have the animals, and they have the bags, containers, and you want two bags, you want three bags, they come and deliver it. So that's called a sukha. Now, in Makkah Mukarrabah, the family that was in charge of providing water and zamzam to the Hajis was the Abbasi family. So these people that were in the sukkah trade, they said, we are Abbasis. See? Then you got the people that call themselves Quraysh or Sheikh. Sheikh and Quraysh is one and the same thing. So perhaps the Quraysh were known for eating meat. Yeah? So the butchers, they call themselves Sheikh. Now what they were? Butchers. And they suddenly they got lifted. They got a raise. So that was one. And the second was the professions, right? And the hadith had spoken about certain professions, but they are not desirable professions. Like, for example, the hadith didn't encourage jewelry, trading in jewelry. Right? Jewelry or working with blood, like, you know, how you're doing cupping and all that. So the hadith didn't encourage that. So Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib put a whole detailed treatise, and then it was circulated. So the whole Deoband, they came up against Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Now, Someone is a butcher, someone is a jeweler, someone is whatever. So they felt that they were being targeted, and they were being criticized. So they all came against. So the Shaykhul Islam Rahmatullahi, he came to the defense of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, left them all laughing and went away. But he had a style explaining. But the same thing was explained again by the Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullahi. He also speaks about the same story. And the answer he gave is about, say, half a page, and he answered the whole thing. So he says, you see, the hadith has warned about the correction of niyat, and sounded such a sound warning that says these three classes of people will be thrown into Jahannam first. One is the mujahid, one is the alim, and one is the wealthy person. Because of the intention not being right, then they'll be thrown into Jahannam first. Alim also. Number two, it's a mujahid, striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And number three is that wealthy person. So it's not condemning jihad, nor is it condemning ilm, nor wealth. But because these three classes of people can be easy victims, right? Of pride, of show, of ostentation. So therefore the hadith has made a point of talking about them. Not that that profession must be left out, but person gets into this, then there can be a lot of ostentation. Wala, what a bayan, wala. Must come and give it our towel. So he's waiting for the compliments. So now it can turn out to be a showpiece. Can't it be? On the day there was no compliments, things are dry. They don't appreciate. So your bold mind can take a turn. Seeing a person is in jihad, so jihad also can happen. It's a very great work, but now you want to do something that is extremely great, you know, so that you can be called a bravado. You're the man. So now he's waiting for that type of acknowledgement and recognition. So therefore the hadith is warned by even this work here, so be very careful. So the Shaykh has curled the whole thing very easily. Not that you don't do the work, but these three classes of people must be even more careful about their intentions. Just digress a little bit. So say the hadith, they've seen the treasure of the hadith and they've extracted four, showing that the whole structure of deen is under this four hadiths. Get this four and you'll get your deen right. But then after that, it's all illustrations based on the four hadiths. Like you'll find books on, you know, the detailed books on fiqh. So they've got pages and pages running on Twitter's niyat. This niyat here and your namaz won't be correct. Right? For example now, someone is reading Nafal namaz and you're reading Farz namaz behind him. The Shafis will say it's right and we will say Muftariz Khalfal Mutanafil. So it's not right. Same again, the person is reading Asar namaz and you joining up to your Zuhar namaz. So they say, no, your namaz is not done. Why? The niyat is not consistent. He is on one side and you on the other side. So the niyat also is a whole chapter its own. Where it's valid, where it's not valid, how it's supposed to be done, how it's not supposed to be done. So therefore, that has been counted as one of the pillars of deen. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئِمْ مَا نَوَى. So the muhaddisin have explained it in different ways. So I tell them, see, when you read the hadith, لِكُلِّ مِرْءٍ مَا رَوَى, so just put a mad on the ma, you will get the meaning right. لِكُلِّ مِرْءٍ مَا رَوَى. So you got the meaning now. Put a mad there, then you got the niyat, you got the meaning right. As whatever niyat you made, you will get the reward for it. Now, you are coming to the masjid, for example, right? So one niyat was to do the first namaz, one salat. The second niyat was, maybe there will be poor people on the road and I will do some charitable work. The second niyat, right? The third niyat was, perhaps I'll see Muslims on the way and I'll make salam to them, right? The fourth niyat is, perhaps there'll be a bayan there and I'll listen to the words of Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Fourth niyat. The first niyat is perhaps someone needed some attention, you know, his car is giving trouble, so I can advise him, right? So whatever you intended, you'll get the salam for. لِكُلِّ مْرِئِمْ مَا نَوَى. So that's the first hadith, and they consider it as like one quarter of your deen. You got that right, then you got quarter of your deen right. That is why you'll find that these great muhaddithin, Imam Bukhari, etc., they start the kitab with niyat. First, so that their niyat is right, as well as those that are studying their kitabs, their niyats are right. Otherwise, now you're just studying it for an entertainment, or you're reading the kitab as a sleeping tablet, you know. I can't get my sleep, so just read something, then it'll put me off to sleep. So by Imam Bukhari is telling you, by apni niyat ko zara dekh lo. Kya niyat hai? Kis niyat se kitab par rahe? You're sitting for ta'lim in the masjid, so what's the niyat for sitting? Is it to show? Is it to impress? Or is it genuinely that I want to learn something? So what's the niyat? See? I'm giving a bayan, so what's the niyat? I'm giving a recitation of the Quran Sharif, what's the niyat? See? So, in any dimension of your life, you just correct and adjust the niyat. Small things, big things, and see that the niyat is correct. Sometimes people don't understand these things here, and then they cause it. Doing a big action, but no reward. Put up a big masjid, etc. But the niyat was as a showpiece. People see the masjid and say, what a masjid, man. What a generous person. So, one Hindu, he had just one daughter, you see. So he was a banya like money lenders, you know? They work with gold. So they got stocks of that. You'll boast, you got 30 gold coins, you'll boast. They got thousands and thousands, you got. So his only daughter, so they told him, you rather do it in style. This one daughter you got, and you have to do the nikah and do it in style. So what must do now? So he said, you're going to invite 1,000 guests, so give each one gold coin. It's on. So now, every guest, they put up there for 2 days, he took good care of them, and each guest got one gold coin. But now, as they're exiting in the horse wagon or the ox wagon, he hid somewhere near the bushes in the exit to see now what are the compliments, what are the acknowledgements. Now he's seeing hundreds of caravans are going. No no compliments, no praise, nothing. I was feeling depressed. You know, I did so much, and I didn't get a compliment. So, he's invited about 1,000 people. When he's passed the 990 mark, then one person said, the driver of the wagon said, "Hey, what a wedding this was, man." And above all, each one got a gold coin. So the driver is saying this. So the boss is saying, "Swahim, sohre kahin ke." Right? Agar wo 10 dete, to uske khazane mein se koi kami aati kya? He just gave only one. If he had given 10 to each guest, would he run short of anything? He's catching his advice. I did this also. Then it didn't work out. You see? So when you're going to be doing for people, then at the end you must feel depressed. Feel depressed, you feel down. You won't feel nice. But if you did for Allah Ta'ala, then there's no need for you to be depressed. Because it's for Allah Ta'ala, so what's the need? If someone compliments or doesn't compliment, does it make a difference? Doesn't make a difference. So don't wait for the acknowledgements and don't wait for compliments. So that's now the one pillar of your deen is your niyat. Get it right. The second is, so that first one will get your one quarter of your deen right. It will get your inner side right. Your inner side will get that right. The second one is al-halalu bayyin, right? That hadith. So that will get all your dealings right. Your dealings, your mu'amalat, see halal, haram, and in between the grey areas. So just take care of the grey areas. Right? So it will get all your dealings right. You're not looking at the abundance, you're looking at the quality. Quality is halal. So that halal has got that power, that halal has got that drive, the power and the motivation. But it must be halal. And in order to get that halal, see that you abstain from the grey areas. Anything is a grey area, so you got your inner side right, then you got your dealings right, right? The third is that Imam Hanifa said, mentioned two hadiths, but others mentioned one hadith. أَيُحِبَّ لِأَخِي مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِي. One subset, and المسلمون سليم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. Others say both comes to the same thing, but perhaps Imam Sahib took it as two different things, because this is the area that people cause it most, right? People's rights. So he mentioned two things, but one is to love for him what you love for yourself, and one is not to cause any pain. So they said, well, both come under one. And Imam Sahib, because of the significance of this aspect, he mentioned it two different entities. But more people get into problems in the qabr and in the hereafter because of the ways that they, the dealings, the way that they conduct themselves, the social etiquettes, they are concerned. They are concerned of that person's feelings, his emotions, his wealth. So you're not concerned about it. Then you get into problems. Someone died, right? So you're the executor. You're the executor of the state. As the Sheikh mentions this, sometimes a person gets deprived of iman, right? You're the executor of the state, and you're not winding it and not giving each one his rightful share. And you say, no, ho jayega, ho jayega. In the meanwhile, there are girls, there are other is that are desperately in need. And you see it will happen. And they don't have the heart to come and demand, because you see, you know, father died, and you're more worried about the wealth. So out of embarrassment, they won't ask. But you know that their right is being suppressed. Right? So you're holding it, and then you're not passing it on. So many a times are you holding it, and you get then held up from your iman. So you hold it, that one, so Allah Ta'ala holds your iman. And the time you wanted it, then you can't say the kalima. You get held up. There's mentioned about 2-3 examples for this. One is, now you are in control of the finances, and you're not relinquishing power. You're in control, they need it, and you're not relinquishing power. And so then you get held up. I mentioned one story of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. So his family had gone out, and she told Maulana, I'm going out, maybe the next street for whatever work, and see to that that the chicken are released, and give them the feed. Release them, and see that you give them the feed. Now, Baaf totally forgot about it, because it's not his routine. So he started his tasneef, writing kitabs. But now, there's no flow of the pen. You know, sometimes a person gives you a bayan, and there's a flow that's coming up, right? And now, sometimes you give a bayan, and there's no flow, you're just getting stuck. Say something, you're getting stuck. So there's no flow on the pen now. I see, hey, what happened? And normally, I see the adl for Labak helps me, and there's a flow on the pen, and it's just gone writing. So I picked up the pen, but there's no flow. What's gone? What's happened? Then he realized that he forgot to release those chicken and give them the feed. So they were held up. As they were held up, you got held up. See that? As they were, you held them up, right? From their feed, from releasing them, you held them. So then that inspiration that you were getting from Allah Ta'ala, that got hold and held up. See that? So, these are two areas. Sometimes that happens, and you get into problems at the end of your life. Sometimes it happens that you get into problems at the end of your life. You issue talaq, right? But you still retain, you're retaining that wife. Out of shame and embarrassment. Ke mere bachche bhi hai, aur children, aur dunya kya kahega, what people will say. Now you're living in a haram relationship, right? And that's right till the end of your life. So you get a warning, but don't do this. No. But you think now, what will the world say? So, in all these cases now, because Allah Ta'ala came in second position, you held people's opinions, etc., at the primary level, and Allah Ta'ala secondary. So then you also become secondary. Then you get caught up in your iman. You want to say that word, but you can't say it. See that? This is haram. Sometimes you are not relinquishing power, right? And sometimes you are in a haram relationship, right? And just for embarrassment's sake, and you're not giving it up. The famous story, Ibn Taymiyyah, etc., Ibn Qayyim, they write this story. So this haram relationship is a very, very dangerous, very, very dangerous thing. One youngster, he fell in love with a boy. You know, you get LGs, right? And now, that love became such, became so attached, right? Became so, so attached. That's why they say, in the dunyavi things, you have an attachment, but don't give all your heart. Because one way or the other, something has to separate. Now you give your whole heart, to something that was material, then to cope thereafter becomes very difficult. But I respected, showed love, and left it in that. Your whole heart will give it to the one that is whole and always. He's always. He's always, so you give your heart there wholly. Give your heart wholly to the one that's always. And others show respect, muhabbat, kindness, etc. But to a certain point, so to give up is easy, and also to maintain is easy. You've got to love, you've got respect and kindness, so the duties are being fulfilled. See? But now you give your whole self, right? And something has to happen after that, right? Now to cope with life becomes very difficult. How you think, I'm going to live? What's going to happen? So now he's got stuck with this boy. See, one is woman and one is boys with girlish features. So like this is haram, that is also haram. In fact, this relationship, boy for boy and girl for girl, ulama say it's worse than a girl relationship. Hundreds of times worse. Guna and the consequence is worse. The reason they give is that when you're talking to a boy, a man or a boy is talking to a boy, then seldom will people doubt him. Two boys are talking, so what? But if a man is talking to a girl, then so now he takes advantage, because if he's nobody feels that we are in a love triangle, nobody feels that. So he's taking advantage. That's the first reason for it being worse. And the second thing they say it's a stupidity, because this type of a relationship is a non-productive relationship. Koi bachcha paida ho sakta hai. Non-productive. Nothing forthcoming. So therefore, and the old, there was these people getting stuck, but they won't marry, right? And now is modern, see, modern Islam. So you're getting these people marrying also. So this is even worse. So this person is falling in love. Now the attachment is too much. But the person that he is falling in love with will not see him, not go close to him, and if he sees he comes from a distance, he'll take a U-turn. And that made it even worse. That he's not seeing him, keeping away from him, and I can't see the person, my beloved, I can't see. So he lost shape. Can't eat, can't sleep, bedridden. Ibn Qayyim is giving the story. So he's bedridden now, and now his condition is just deteriorating. Every coming day, can't eat, can't sleep, whole bodies, like just skin and bones. So someone felt sorry for him and told the beloved, have some pity for the person, at least one day go and talk to him, one day. Oh, hey, such a filthy thing. Everybody knows it's a filthy thing. Ta'atuna rijala shahwatam came in about fourth place of the Quran. Practicing your lust on men in preference to women, right? Practicing your lust on men. Aindakum ta'atuna rijala shahwatam min dunin nisa, in preference to women. So when they kept on telling him, so that person felt sorry. So he just got up and took a few steps. In the meanwhile, that person got the news that this person is coming. He was bedridden, he couldn't talk. Suddenly he just came, life came into him. So just jumped up. Face is brightened. That person, he had a second thought. It's too filthy, man. It's too filthy. Whatever happens to him, but I am not giving in. He just went back home. Now the news went to him, this person was coming, he had a second thought, right? And he went back. Then he collapsed and he died. And the last words that came on his tongue, Hawaka alazzu ilayya min hawal khaliqil jalili. Your love is sweeter to me than the love of Allah Ta'ala. See, that were the last words, and he went. But you see this haram relationship. So the warning of these three situations. One is, where you're not relinquishing power, you're supposed to be relinquishing. So he's right. You have no right to hold it back. Why do you hold it? Everybody's got a right. What gives you that authority? That you must keep the power with you. When everybody got an equal right to that wealth, then so Allah will keep back from you the iman, because you kept back their rights. Number two, because I said talaq, right? And it was a haram thing that you gave the three talaqs. Now that she was haram, but now your concern of public opinion is greater than your concern about Allah Ta'ala. Again, now you're getting deprived of your iman. And this third one is this haram relationship. See? And how damaging it can be, how it can finish you up. So I said that the whole hadith, the treasure of hadith, is supported by four. One is iman, one is ikhlas. Number two, get your dealings right. Right? I quoted the hadith, right? And with that, in the dealings means not to hurt anybody. In any way. Physically, emotionally, verbally, in any way not to hurt. Imam Muhammad Rahmatullah, he wrote on dealings, mu'amalat, right? In volumes he wrote. Mu'amalat. So someone complained to him, but you wrote so much on this subject, right? On dealings, but you didn't write on tazkiyah and tasawuf. On this subject you wrote, but you didn't write on this. So Imam Muhammad's answer was that most of the problems in the hereafter is because of the dealings not being right. Most of the problems is because your dealing is not right. So if the dealing is right, then the person become a righteous person. That's the essence of tasawuf, to create an awareness of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. So it keeps you from haram, it keeps you from slipping into problems, right? Your dealings, your wife, children, your business partners, all, everybody, your dealings are right. So you need to see how to get it right. Is, am I fair? Not to see, are they fair, what? To ensure that, am I fair to them? So you have a couple of points over them, because you are introspecting yourself. That, am I fair, am I just? The other is, no, they take advantage. They're not fair, they're tramping my feet. That is one way. But you see all these experts in hadith, they write, Lama Qurtubi, etc. To get it right, you need to ensure that, are you being fair, are you being good? The Western way is, no, they mustn't, my rights. That's the Western. And our way, Islamic way, is, am I right? That's why, towards the end of Nabi Sam's life, then he announced that if I hurt anybody, then he must then retaliate, physical, financial, whichever way. But he made an announcement. He didn't say now that if anybody hurt me, that then I want to hurt them back. Did he say that? He said, accidentally, if anybody was hurt, then he got all the right to come and demand. So you have to be more conscious and be executed, because on the day of Qiyamah, this is the thing that you will be held up for. did you execute? Not whether they executed. That person will be answerable for that. But did you execute? So that's why, again, what Iman Khafa, you know, you stand in a trial before Allah Ta'ala. So they have to be very careful, very, very careful. Small, big, verbal, emotional. Or you get woman complaining, when he need to marry me, he was such a sweet person. But now, as I came into the marital home, every day is F&Bs. Every day. But you're surprised, you know, if some of the people you know, but he's such a sweet person here. But at home then he's a different person. And you can't confront. You're telling me, you know, this is the image you got from his wife, then there's a fight at home then. You can't even talk about that. So what do you do? So that's the third thing, right? That this ulama have come across. And the fourth thing they came across to show the four different, that's the four pillars of Islam. We've got that four pillars now. Just on that, if you analyze and you extend the analogy, you'll get everything right. So they simplified it for you to get your deen right. So the fourth one is, min husni islam al mar'i tarku ma la ya'ni, to abstain from things that don't concern you. There's a building coming up there. Hey, who's building? But why is the building? Does it concern you? She's got one car. Why put another car? But does it concern you? Doesn't concern you. Apna kaam karo, do your work. Don't get mixed up in his affairs and that person's affairs, whatever. La tus'aluna amma kanu ya'malun. You're not going to be answerable for their affairs. So I just branched off because of this hadith here. This last part, min husni isnamil mar'i tarku ma la ya'ni. So sometimes the stray thoughts, the catalyst for the stray thoughts, is you went into affairs that didn't concern you. Didn't concern you. Why? I see you wearing so good shoes. Right? So now he's thinking to himself, he's admiring the shoes. Where is he getting the money from? He must be stealing. Now he got a stray thought that's running past his mind. Right? The root of it was, he went into something that doesn't concern him. Right. He went into an area that didn't concern you. Does it concern you? Why is he wearing a new shoe? It may be, it was there, right, in the cupboard, and he shined and polished it nice, and now it looks like a new shoe. It may be that someone, his brother gave him a gift, right, a friend gave him a gift. Now, is that your business? How did you get that shoe? Is that part of your business? But now sometimes these street thoughts are because the catalyst is that you went to areas that didn't concern you. So now the namaz, the whole thing starts again. Yeah? Are you getting into news that doesn't concern you? America, Israel. Yeah, America shouldn't have done this. Israel must do this. So now you're giving the whole commentary and giving what they must do, as though you're the control, the referee of the whole war. He's giving a punch here. So he still gives them back now. So now you becoming the referee, but does it concern you? Right? You didn't still go through your qiyamah, hisab, kitab, all the interrogation processes, you haven't. You're worried about this. You're planning it out. You heard about the World Cup now? Yeah, hey, I can see now who will come out, you know? This one here will come out, that one. And then, yeah, there's some underhand things also going on, you know, they're getting paid here. So these are, well, who asked you to get into all this business? Was there a need for you to get into it? Will Allah Pak ask you, do you support this team here? And in the meanwhile, you're supporting them for so many years, did they do anything for you? One day you need money for bread. So you supported them for 30 years. Their jerseys, their shoes and whatever else, 30 years. One day you had no money for bread. You know, I supported you for 30 years. Can't you support me? Just one day's bread. Then go fly kite. Yeah. So, it's not only layani, but it's foolish to get into this entertainment business. Right? Follow it or support it is not only layani, but it's really foolish, because if you support something, or you size something, you will get something out of it. Some good will come out of it, then it's nice to support it. But you're not going to get anything out of it. Just wah wah, just jump, raise your hands up, wah. You raised your hand, and then what do you got out of it? Kuch mila, haath mein kuch aya, kuch nahi aya. So, then why? See that? So that is now, you know, you read the dua, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. Don't let our hearts go crooked. When it goes crooked, your heart goes crooked, then your time goes in the wrong things. Not in things where you can multiply, you can progress spiritually, or else even materially. You don't progress materially, you don't progress even spiritually, both ways. Khasira dunya wal akhirah. You are a failure both in this world and the next. You know, if someone says you are a failure, you wrote the exams but you failed. You're a failure. So how terrible don't you feel? But here, you are a failure both ways, here and there. And then can you understand the extent of the loss? So, this last hadith is about appreciating time, what? So one is about your dealings, one is about your heart, one is to ensure the intake is right, right? And the last is to see that you appreciative of time. Because that's your capital. As you appreciate the capital, then so will your business prosper. Allah Akbar.